This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Lord, we indeed come this morning not with anything that we can offer, but it's that amazing grace, Lord, that we have received. And Lord, even sharing from your word, Lord, and speaking from your word is just such a privilege, Lord, to know that is also from you. And it's that amazing grace, Lord, that we can have peace this morning, Lord, as we sit here. We pray that your presence, Lord, will be so felt and so visible, Lord, and that it's not just the word spoken, but it's actually you in our midst. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was struggling to see how I must put this thing on here. Is it this way around or on top? Or and it just reminded me of, you know, when you go into hospital, you always have these suits that seem to be the wrong way around. You know, when you go for an operation, you think, have I got this on the right way around? You know, and a few months ago, I was down in Cape Town in a hospital there, and, you know, they said to me, I must come there 8 o'clock in the morning. And then they tell you, you know, the operation is at 1:30 or 2:30 in the afternoon, you know, but please put this on. And, you know, now you lie on the bed there and wait. And then suddenly somebody came with a wheelchair into the room at about 10 o'clock, you know, and he told me I must get onto the wheelchair. And I said, you know, I was told 1:30. You know, he said, we must go across the road there. You know, we're at this Panorama Hospital, and he shows outside the window, we must go to that building over there. And I said to him, yo, I don't know. Can you just make sure that you're at the right place? You know, that you've got the right person. And he said, no, you must come. You know, I said, please, just make sure you've got the right person, you know. And then I never saw the guy again. He was disappeared. So obviously, you know, he had the wrong person there. And I wonder what would have happened if I had jumped onto the wheelchair, the wheelchair, and, you know, cross the road, and suddenly, you know, my teeth get pulled, or I don't know what. Anyway, that's not what I want to talk about this morning. As you have seen in the series on prayer, today, Yaku and I think Carl as well, they are up in Otjiwarongo. There's a big sports school, by Ian Combs there, and so they asked me to preach on the power of two, and it was really, you know, really, I must say, I really struggled to think what must I talk about. You know, if I have to talk about prayer, and it's not just about prayer, it's about when we pray together, you know, what does that do? You know, if we want to really know what it means to pray together, and I thought, you know, maybe I don't preach this morning, but we have a big prayer meeting here this morning. Okay? It might be the only time that we've got a full prayer meeting, you know. and let God show us, but I thought maybe, you know, maybe I can't do it this morning, you know, but I'm sure that if you honestly think about it, that if we as Christians want to see the power of God amongst us, you know, in our church, that we have to start praying together, to pray in unity. Because the The scripture says that, and we saw it actually this morning on the screen there, that Jesus said that, you know, where two or three come together in His name, He is in the midst. He is in their midst. And before that, He actually says, you know, if you ask anything in My name, My Father in heaven will do it. You know, and most of the, if you look in Acts, you know, most of the meaningful early church encounters started when the disciples were together praying. You know, and actually Acts starts off as a 10-day prayer meeting. You know, it's, I started reading it, you know, yesterday. You know, and one of the things that also threw me off a little bit of preparing, you know, yesterday somebody like banged into the back of our car, you know, then you phone the police, you wait an hour and nobody arrives, and you drive to the police, and then the form, have to fill out the, you know, we don't have to fill out the form at the fair. It takes an hour or more, you know, and anyway, it took a long time, and I was wanting to spend time to prepare, and so, but you know, in Acts, when Jesus walked with the disciples and actually ascended into heaven, they got together and joined in prayer constantly. And that prayer meeting, you know, it was the disciples, it was a lot of people, it wasn't only them, it was all the women, and they were together there praying, and that ended after the 10th day in the day of Pentecost. You know, the Spirit of God coming upon the people at the day of Pentecost. And later, they continued in prayer, and in the place that they were, it was shaken. They were praying together, it was shaken. And, you know, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and it says they had the Word of God, was they could proclaim the Word of God with boldness. You know, and it's, so often we say, oh, I wish we, you know, we would be like the early church, you know, where we all together, we pray together. Well, you know, what prevents us from coming together and praying together? You know, if we want the Spirit of God comes upon us that we can proclaim the Word boldly, you know, maybe we should come together and pray as a in unity, as the Lord Jesus actually commands us to do. You know, it is, you know, never in the New Testament, you know, in no church actually, even now, is anything like the New Testament church without the church praying together. You know, it's not like come together, go apart. You know, and you will see any revival that has ever happened when a group of people started praying together. You know, and so it is such an important thing to meet together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He promises that He will be there. You know, and that anything where we agree in unity, that the Father will grant us those requests. You know, normally I, you know, when I was preparing, Ruan was preaching in the Afrikaans service. He always says to me, you know, you can't have a sermon without a graph or something. You know, I always need a graph in my sermon. So he says, your things are always like structured, you know, little things. And anyway, it was quite difficult to structure, you know, if you talk about prayer, because prayer is not a sermon. Prayer is not a speech or a ceremony. Prayer is a conversation. It's a conversation where you talk, where you listen, where you're quiet, you know, and so prayer, you know, preparing to something to talk on prayer, you know, I was thinking, you know, it isn't a ritual, it isn't you know, something like that. So it's a conversation. That's really what it is. And I think God wants us to talk to Him. It's a privilege to talk to Him simple, come humble before Him, and talk to Him about things that interest us. God is interested in the things that interest us. You know, I was just thinking about it. He's interested in the team that you support, or the exam that you write, or anything. You know, we do not have to pray. You know, when we start praying and then it's thy, thou, and we start, you know, going off, we can talk. If, you know, so often we feel maybe, you know, I can't come and pray in a group. It's almost like me coming up here this morning, you know, as soon as you know, oh, it's probably in the next 5 minutes I must come up there, suddenly it's not that cold anymore, you know, it gets quite warm. And so when you're in a group, I think another thing, praying in a group, we might feel, oh, that I can't do, I don't know what to pray, and I don't have the right words, and things. It's not about the words, it's about Him. And a simple prayer, you know, just thinking, if you go maybe to KFC and you don't have time to get something, get to KFC, get yourself something there and sit down, you know, it is okay to say, Lord, I'm hungry, you know, praise you for fast food, you know, and thanks, I love this, you know, it's a prayer, it's something you talk to Him. And I think He wants us to be real. He wants us to really, and in a prayer group, don't be afraid to say something that maybe you think, oh, that's not as good as person A or person B. You know, the Lord said to us, we shouldn't stand and kind of pray and that everybody sees us and and babble along there and so on, because longer is not stronger. Longer prayers are not necessarily stronger prayers, you know. So we should really come together as a church to pray more often. We do have prayer meetings, and we do come together, as you see, early in the morning on Tuesdays and also on Wednesdays, a bit later in the morning. But I wanted to look at a short passage in Exodus, and it's actually doesn't specifically say this is prayer, but I'll look at it, I'll go to it just in a moment, but I just want to share a few things that I believe when we pray together as a church, what it teaches us. You know, the first thing I believe it teaches us is unity. You know, if we pray together as a church, we become more united. If you pray together, you can work together. You know, if you pray together, you get to know one another. And it's not about getting to know one another, it's about praying together. But you know, if we do not pray together, it's so easy in the church. And I was thinking, you know, about 14 and a half years ago, I came from Australia. I worked 2.5 years in Australia and I came back. And actually not that many people here anymore that were there when I arrived back from Australia. Some were offended. Some didn't like the way the music is done, you know. And it's so quick, but if we pray together, you know, these things become not that important, because it's so easy. It's so easy in the church that I don't like it, I'll go somewhere else. You know, it's even easier. You won't, at your work, I don't like this work today, I'll go somewhere else. It's not going to happen, you know. You're going to stick it out and know, before I go somewhere else, I need a new job and all of that. Not so easy to get a job, but, you know, so easily in our church, there's offense and we get offended. But if we pray together, we learn to work together. You know, and I saw the other day, you know, when you go into these coffee shops in Swakopmund, they always got all these little things written on the wall, and you know, I saw it at this coffee shop here, and you know, that says E equals MC squared, you know, energy equals milk times coffee squared, and things like that. And the other day, it was in this other coffee shop, and I read something on the wall there, and that was really somebody being offended by Winston Churchill, you know, and it was a lady. I just remember her name was Nancy, but I can't remember her surname now, but she got close to Winston Churchill and said, "You know what? If I was your wife, I would put poison in your coffee." You know, and Winston Churchill turned around and said, "You know what? If I was your husband, I would drink it." So I think, you know, when we come together, I hope it never happens here that we would have put poison in each other's coffee. But praying as a church unites us. It, you know, the Lord said that they may be one as we are one. And I think, you know, the Lord Jesus often went to pray, you know, and when he prayed, he said, "Father," you know, and he was really talking to the Father. And it's the same when we come together. It teaches us unity, not only with him, but also with each other. And the second thing, as you can see, I've already got these little boxes and and things there, but it teaches us, you know, that there is power in agreement. And that it's actually, I think it's almost like a kingdom principle. When the Lord says, when two or more come together in my name, it's almost like anything is possible, you know. And it just seems like there is some spiritual mathematics, almost principle going on. In mathematics, we call a geometric progression. You know, if you haven't heard about it, if you go to the next slide there, I've got a, just go to the next slide, and you'll see there a mathematical progression I've got there. This is like, you see 500, 2,000, and it's really, I put there at the top, N is 20, there's my graph. You know, 5 times 20 is 100, you know, and 100 times 20 is 2,000. 2,000 times 20 is 40,000. And very quickly, you know, within 5 steps, you are at 16 million. Now, that's a mathematical progression. And I think in the Word, when we get together in prayer, when two or more get together in prayer, something similar happens. It's just like, it's not one plus one is then double the power in prayer, you know. It just seems that that it's more. And the Bible actually talks about this principle. And I looked at two passages. One is in Deuteronomy, when Moses was speaking to Israel. It's called the Song of Moses. And in Deuteronomy 32, verse 29 and 30. It's actually verse 30, and I will just, it's not up there, but I will read it to you. It says, "How could one man chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight?" So 1,000, 2, 10,000. It's not 2,000, but 10,000. And in Leviticus, also in Leviticus 8, it says there, "Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. It's not a factor of 5, it's actually a factor of 100. And I think when we come together and agree in prayer, it's the same principle happens there, that, you know, we just feel God in our midst, and he is the one that causes this geometric progression suddenly to take place when we pray together, because that is what he promises. Thirdly, you know, it also teaches us to hear God speak. You know, we have our small group on a Tuesday, and we were talking about hearing God speak, you know, and it's not always, we don't, you know, some of us might feel You know, I don't just hear God speak and speak to me all the time, and I see other people saying, you know, God told me this, and then he told me this. And when we come together on a Tuesday morning, and I can only talk about the Tuesday prayer meeting because I don't go to the Wednesday one, you know, so often Jaco has said here, his sermon actually was born in that Tuesday morning prayer meeting because God gave him a confirmation. You know, it's either a word or in the song or two people praying and confirming something. And when we pray as a group, it's an excellent way to also see what God is saying through other people to us and what he's, you know, what he's got to say to our church. You know, as a, it is just a way. And I think if we say, look, I don't hear God, you know, come and pray with your brothers and sisters and listen to what God has to say through them, not only through them, but when we sometimes sit in silence, you know, and there's a confirmation of what God is saying. And lastly, I just, before I go to this this little passage in Exodus, I think when we pray together, it helps to mobilize others to join. You know, as soon as two or three come together, you know, those two or three talk to other people and we mobilize more to come together so that we can become a praying church. And that is really, we say, look, we want to be like the New Testament church. So let's start praying as a people. Because as we pray, we also learn how to pray. It's almost like a, you know, I've, one of my friends, he's not here this morning, you know, Dr. Mark Mankis, you know, I remember like 10 years ago, he wouldn't pray, you know, and now he's just grown so much by being together in prayer meetings in that particular, you know, and he's now the one that sometimes starts the prayer, you know, it's just amazing. What I saw with the disciples, they never asked Jesus, teach us to preach. Jesus, teach us to do miracles. One thing they asked is, Lord, teach us to pray. You know, teach us. They saw him pray. They asked him, teach us to pray. And the Lord did. I mean, the Lord then, when they asked him, you know, he told them how to pray. And he also said, what prayer is not. He said, prayer is not standing there and showing off. Or like I said earlier, you know, babbling along, always the same thing, thinking that God will hear you. It's exactly what Jesus says. It's not what I'm saying, you know. But you come in confidence, not in your words, but in the one you are talking to. And like I said, I think God is interested in the simple prayer. God is interested in what you want to talk to him. He wants to talk to us. You know, because if you want to see how popular a church is, I think we must come to the Sunday morning services, but if you want to see how popular God is, we must come to the prayer meeting and see how many people come there. Because that is where, you know, where we really, where we draw very close to God. You know, I read a story that there were some young men that came to London and they wanted to hear, they'd heard about Charles Spurgeon, a preacher, and they were trying to find the church where he's going to preach that morning, and they actually came a bit early. They were about an hour early, and they walked into the church, and there was nobody there. But there was just this one gentleman came up to them and said, yeah, can I help you? And they said, no, we want to come to the church service, which is kind of an hour's time. He said, no, do you want to have a look at the heating room of the church? And you know, it was quite a hot day. They said, oh, heating room of the church. But they were polite. They said, yeah, that's quite interesting. Let's go. And he opened a door and they had to go some steps down. A big room below. There were about 700 people praying for the church service that's going to start in an hour's time. You know, and that was the engine room or the heating room of the church. And when they later attended the church service, they saw the gentleman that had shown them down to the eating room was actually Charles Spurgeon, who was preaching then. But let me turn, I want to turn to Exodus 17. There's a story there of Moses. You know, while they were going on the Exodus, in Exodus 17, verse 8. And it starts off by saying the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. And when you go back to the previous slide there, it's not that clear, but you see that at the bottom there's a red circle. That is where this town is. I was kind of, when I read a town, I quickly want to see where was it actually. And this is where it is. And then Moses, you know, they were suddenly attacked. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses has ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with a sword. It's actually quite strange, you know, when you think about it. Moses says, you know, I will go up there, and I will have the staff. I mean, it was quite a special staff. You know, it was the staff that was used to open the Red Sea. It was the staff that just before that, he hit on the rock where the water gushed out. But he said, I'll lift that staff. And I don't know, you know, maybe God told him, you know, to do this. And I think in this story, although it's you know, it doesn't talk about prayer as such, I want to just highlight three things there that I think that I see in this story. And the first thing is in this event that took place. And the first thing is that we all have a part to play in the spiritual victory that God wants to do through this church. We all have a part to play. It wasn't, you know, if we think of the story, so often we think, oh, Moses, if you would draw a picture of this now, it's probably Moses up there, Aaron and Hur next to him holding up his hands. But so often we forgot that there was Joshua, an army in battle fighting the Amalekites. Without that army, without Joshua and the army there, the battle wouldn't have been won. So each and every one of them, I'm not trying to play down Moses' role and Aaron and Hur's role, but Joshua and the army down there had just as an important role to play. And therefore, I think it is not just, you know, Yaku and you know, the elders or leaders that need to pray. It's all of us. You know, and this is what I just think, you know, that to me kind of sticks out in this, you know, because if you forget Joshua and the army down there, then there is actually no battle, you know, and so all of them had a part to play. You know, and we may say, yeah, but I didn't hear God talk to me about, you know, joining a prayer meeting or a small group or whatever the case may be, you know. And I've said it as well. I've said, you know, God hasn't spoken to me, you know. But you know what? I looked up a few scriptures and knew what God told me. I will tell you what he told me. Get up and pray that you will not fall into temptation. It's Luke 22:40. He doesn't tell it only to me. He tells it to all of us. You know, in James 5, verse 16, he says, "Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." That's what the Lord is telling us. pray for each other. And then in Ephesians 6 verse 18, he says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Your presence matters. Your presence, your prayer matters. Not only Moses, Aaron, Hur, Joshua, the whole army were in battle there, but it's the same here today. You know, each of our prayer matters. Then also in that story, obviously we see as soon as Moses dropped his arms, he probably had the rod above him. As soon as he dropped his arms, you know, the Amalekites were winning. When he raised his arms, the Israelites were winning. So there was a dependency upon God. You know, and I think prayer develops that. You know, as he had to keep his arms up, God helped Joshua and the army down there. And as we get together in prayer more often as a church, we will understand that we are totally dependent upon God. A dependency upon Him, it's not upon, you know, my abilities, my words that I say or things. We start to learn that we are totally dependent upon God. You know, sometimes we may feel that we're tired, and that's exactly the time, like Moses, that's the time when Aaron and Hur had to lift up his hands. And it's the same with us when we feel that we don't want to go. That's the time when you need to go so others can lift you up and elevate. You know, that we should elevate our prayer program above all other programs. And I'm treading on maybe on some thin ice here, but I think, you know, we've got a youth program, we've got a Sunday school program, but we've got a prayer program. And I think the devil fears that more than any other program when we start praying together as a church. And lastly, I saw there with the Amalekites were defeated. Prayer is powerful and effective. You know, I think that Moses and Joshua and all of the men and Aaron and Hur, they all saw that it is effective. As the Amalekites, they were actually outnumbered there. And I think the early church saw that more and experienced that even more. They knew when Peter was in prison, they got together and prayed and asked God, intervene. And God intervened. When they were in the room together and started praying, God, we need you to protect us. We need you. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word boldly. You know, it's actually what our church doesn't need. You know, if we want to really see the power of God in our church, we don't maybe need another men's camp. We don't need another Awaken conference or another event. Are they important? Of course they are important. But we need to come together to pray. Pray together. You know, the promises in the Word when we pray together are just, you know, exponential. I can stand here and say this, but unless we actually move into action, these are just words, you know. I think last week we were together here and on Monday evening, and we were talking about why don't we see more radical conversions, people running to Christ, people running to be saved, repenting and understanding what salvation is about. And we were, you know, as leaders, we were looking at this and we had things up, you know, that we are not bold enough and accountability and we need courage and things like that. But overarching, we came to the conclusion that we need to pray. We need to pray together. Because it's, you know, we're not bold enough. We need to get together to pray. And, you know, we can leave here this morning, and like Jaco said last week, you know, it was quite a, I don't know where he got the statistics, but he said, you know, most people leave on a Sunday and then, you know, life goes on as normal. But we can leave here this morning and nothing changes. But if we want to see God's mighty hand at work in our midst, and we want to see God talking to us, we want to see God moving our church to make a difference in this town, to make a difference in our country, we can make a difference where we are in our, at our workplace, at our school, or wherever we are. We need to get together to pray and ask God's mighty power to work amongst us. And I thought this morning, you know, and should we just maybe just bow our heads this morning as we end off? And if, you know, I would first want to say that if there is anyone here this morning that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ and does not know what we're talking about, salvation and things like that, then please, like this, the Word of God says, today is the day of salvation, you know. And I will be, you know, once we finish now, I'll be here, and you can please come and do not walk out. But I want us to just bow our head the moment in prayer and just reflect on where you can get together with others to pray. You know, and just think about that. And because I think we will be surprised. We will be surprised how God will move in our midst when we start praying as a people. We're just too few. I think we're just too few people praying at the moment as a group. I'm not talking about individuals, you know, but we need to come together. The scripture often says, they came together and prayed. So let us just bow our heads in prayer. Oh Lord, we sometimes just don't know what to pray, Lord. When we come and sit before you, our mind drifts and our thoughts are with the things that we're busy with outside, Lord, and we just can't find the silence, we can't find the words. But Lord, we teach us to pray, Lord. Father, that we can just talk about the normal things that we're busy with, Lord. Talk to you and first go to you. Go to you first, Lord. And not come to a stage where we say, oh, now the only thing is left is to pray. No, Lord, that we pray first. Father, and that we're not afraid to pray, not afraid to talk to you because you want us to talk to you, Lord, as children to talk to you. So, Father, and thank you that you love to hear us talk to you, Lord. Father, I want to pray this morning that as we leave this place, that Lord, that we will take the time, make the time, Lord, to talk to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.